How many people here, as a matter of interest, have not met David yet and haven't heard him speak? Isn't it? I mean, put your hands up. Well, look at all those people. David, how about you bring your family up here and just say hello first before you come to preach, and just introduce us to your family. And, you know, David has been here come here 2 years ago and made an impact on us, and it's great to have you back again. And he's got a ministry that we admire, respect, and his is also good ground to sow into.
Yep. Good morning. Jesus bless y'all. Hello, if I don't know you, Jesus bless you. We're blessed to be here. It's my second trip to Australia and my family's first trip. This is my wife and my oldest daughter. Say hello, Miss Hogan.
Good morning. God bless you. In Jesus' name. I just wanted to say something real quick. The brother and sister were talking about finances earlier, and I was just reminded of when we first went to the mission field, and we were trusting God for everything. And one day we had everything we needed except for milk for our baby, and we got a letter in the mail, and it had $2 in it, and at the end of it, it said, P.S., this may buy some milk for your baby. I'm really embarrassed to send $2, but maybe it can buy your baby some milk. So I just wanted to say even $2 is important.
Hello, I'm Crystal Hogan, and I love Jesus with all my heart, and if I could say anything to you, God is worthy, trust in Him, and don't ever go away from Him. God bless you.
Hallelujah.
David, before you go, just give us one testimony. I mean, what's happening is David's going to be sharing later, and he's going to be ministering, and we thought we'd take up an offering for David. Usually we do it after he preaches, and so you get to know him and you know the quality of his ministry, but we've just taken up one offering, though, entering the offering bags, ready to take it around again. But before David, we take it up and David shares, I just thought it'd be good if maybe David could tell you what his work is doing so that you can, and where the money will go and just what's happening with it, so you can feel part of it and you can invest with faith.
Yeah, I don't mind. Yeah, we've been there for the last 20 years. There is Mexico. I work with Indians. They're very poverty-stricken folks. We go in. The money is used for buying equipment, for buying motorcycles, film equipment, going into these villages, buying trucks. We're building a ranch now, a Bible school. We're building a conference center. We have right at 100,000 converts in the last 20 years. There's well over 300 churches. It goes for getting us out there. The dead are raised, the blind see, and the lame walk. It's an excellent ministry that God's raised up. It doesn't have to do with me. It has to do with God's excellence. In Jesus' name.
Thanks, David. Well, let's thank you, David. Hogan, Crystal, and now let's just put into that money 100,000 souls. That's not bad ground to sow into over the last 20 years, is it? So, deacons, if you'd like to come, let's just pray over the offering as we give it. Father, we do give to you with a glad and a joyful heart. Father, let it meet needs, Father, that ministry. In David's ministry, Father, let it be souls saved. Father, people's lives transformed in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless God. Well, David, come up and share the word with us this morning. And feel free to do what's on your heart with God. And everyone give him a big welcome this morning as he comes.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Good morning. Y'all awake, everybody? Hello, good morning. Ah, that's good, that's better. I want to share something today that happened to us a little while ago. Actually, it was a year ago this month. And I want to be really honest with you about some things, because a guy like me is looking for, in our whole ministry, we're looking for ways to keep ourselves and our ministry flowing in the Holy Ghost, allowing the gospel to work through us, allowing the people to be touched by heaven. And so there was a new move started here. I know it hit y'all about 3 or 4 years ago. It came into the rest of the world also, around the world, in South Africa, the United States, Canada, into Europe. It's been all over the place. And it's got a whole lot of different names depending on what part of the world you're from. And some people call it the river. Some people call it the refreshing. Some people call it, the fire of heaven. Others call it just plain out, just revival of God. And I don't particularly care what you call it as long as we're in it. The thing is to get in. Because I personally, our work is so large anymore that I have to take care of it. Take care of it means I have to protect it in a way of not allowing any false doctrine to get into it, not allowing, because I'm going to be honest with you, y'all are real faddish people, you Westerners are. And anything that comes along, you'll jump in for a little while, and then, boy, you're doing good, and everything's happy. But then it'll just subside, and you'll go back into your normal way of life. Well, I don't agree with that, personally. I agree with Jesus and going and staying into it, staying hot and staying in the flow, and allowing it to change you and be completely radical for the Holy Ghost. I agree with that. So does God agree with it. Now, if you will, turn with me in your Bible. I'm going to kind of explain to you what happened to us and try to encourage you to let it come to you, because this is not something that's new to this church. It's not new to us either. But I want to show you here in Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 17. I want to get right into this because I don't know how long y'all usually have a Sunday morning service, but normally people are in a hurry to get out and get to the restaurants. Normally they don't have time for God on Sunday mornings. They have time to give a little token time and then let's go on with our life. So I'm going to challenge you a little bit, offend some of you on purpose. It's not because I'm an American, because I don't live in America. I haven't been in America living in 21 years. I've been in Mexico living. I'm about to get more time in Mexico than I had in the United States. So when that happens, I'm going to get me a Mexican passport, which is pretty soon. I'm going to give up my American citizenship. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. See, church, you have to do things by faith. Okay? Everything must be done by faith or it's sin. If it's not done in faith, it's sin. That's exactly what the Bible says. And we have to do that. And this thing about the river flowing, I'm submitted to a fairly large group of ministers over in the United States, and I'm one of the elders, and I work under that group, and I'm very happy to do that and be that. But in this move that took place, it's not that people have to have my opinion or my approval to let the Holy Ghost flow. That's not what it is. And it's not that I have to think that I'm something greater than I am in protection of the people that I work for. That's not true either. It's just simply that I am responsible to the Holy Ghost for what happens to the people He's given me. And I'm not going to jump in just because America jumps in, or just because Australia jumps in, or New Zealand, or England, or anybody else. I'm going to jump in when the Holy Ghost jumps in our work. Now then, that's not to say that I'm fighting it. I'm not fighting it. I never was fighting. Please understand, I was not against the refreshing, the river, the flow, the wind, the fire. I never was against all that. Every time I'd come out or go around the world somewhere, I'd mix with everybody, and you never did know that I was being cautious. You could never tell it. But I was studying y'all. Last time I was here, I was watching you real close. And the last time I went to the United States, haven't been there in a couple of years. Last time I went to, I just preached up in Toronto at Brother John Arnott's church, preached a conference there. And over in St. Louis, Brother Rick Shelton preached a conference there right before I came here. And I'm always studying people to make sure that what we're doing is right, regardless of what you're doing. You understand? I'm telling you, it doesn't make me any better than anybody else. It just makes me trying to be right in our work for the Holy Ghost. And so I went after God. And so I told the Lord, I said, this is what we're going to do, God. And if I'm wrong, you can do whatever you want to. I am not going to preach this refreshing or this revival in our work. I will not teach one message on it. I won't allow anybody that comes from around the world to even speak about it in our work until I see you divinely touch us like you have in the past. Now, you say, boy, you shouldn't be that strict. You shouldn't be that serious. Yes, I should. If you know how hard it is for me to dig those Indians out of those hills and to get them born again and get churches started and get it established, then you'd understand why I'm so serious about how and what I do and how I undertake for what we're doing in our ministry. And y'all, it really happened. It really, really happened. It really did. First, before I get into it, though, I want to share with you here. Look in Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead. God can make any dead person alive, even you. God can make you alive, church. He can touch you. God, listen, we've had over 200 people raised from the dead in our work. God can raise anybody from the dead. It's awesome to watch. We had a lady just the other day before I came over here, 70-year-old grandma, that she was dead for about, I think it was 14 or 16 hours. And the Holy Ghost touched her and raised her up. But it was after the whole family was brought in. They washed her for burial. They set her up on the altar in the house. And the whole town came through and acknowledged her death and gave respects to the people. Then God raised her from the dead. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. God can raise people from the dead, whoever He wants to. And it doesn't make me any difference whether you believe it or not. It matters that I believe. It matters that our work believes. It matters that Jesus is King. Hallelujah. And so, you know, you'd say to me, man, y'all get the dead raised and the blinded eyes open, the lame walking, and all sorts of tumors fall off of people and every kind of miracle, tuberculosis is healed. Yes, we get that. We do get that. And let me tell you something. That's the very reason I was so cautious about going into this revival with the rest of the world. Because I don't want our work tainted at all. It's an integrity-wise, it's got high integrity. It's new, it's fresh, it's not but 20 years old. And I want the thing to carry over into the next millennium, I mean, with glory and honor and victory. And we will in Jesus' name, if Jesus doesn't come back. So I blocked it. I wouldn't allow people to come in. I stood my ground and I tell them, you get off the plane. You don't have the right to speak about this new revival that's taking place in the world until I tell you you can. People say, man, you can't tell people what to preach. I wasn't telling them what to preach. I was telling them what not to preach. You can preach on anything but this thing that's going on, because in our work, I mean, honestly, to be honest with you, we were stuck up in the mountains. It's off the trail. It's not a beaten path. It's not a work. It's hard to get to. It's not an easy thing to accomplish. And so people never would come to see us. And all of a sudden now we're 1,000 strong. We've got every kind of miracle known to man. Now everybody wants to come. That's fine. You can come. But there's certain things you're not going to talk about. You understand? It must be protected. It's a worthy thing that God's doing. Okay. But God can do it because God wants to. God can quicken the dead if He wants to. I've watched Him do it. I've personally been in on 19 dead raisings. And I know I have watched people. We had a couple of girls that were dead for 3 days. That were laying covered in lime. And the Holy Ghost brought them back from the dead. And I want you to, you ought to see it. You ought to see it, I tell you. You should see it. In Jesus' name. It's wonderful. A couple of teenage girls, oh boy, they loved it when they got up spitting that lime out of their mouth. Verse 18, it says, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations? According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Look at verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Church, we've got to understand that God wants to move, and we're not to be the ones to block Him. Now, I'm saying that, telling you that I was blocking anybody coming. I wasn't blocking God. I was blocking men carrying fads. Do you understand the difference? I do not want our work to be caught up just because now we're a happening thing and people want to be there because it's moving and glorious. I don't want to be caught up into a fad that's going to slow down and go down and the percentages start dropping off in just a year or two. Man, I want to be involved in something that's eternal, that's lasting. And I will be. And I will do it through faith. Because here's what happened. Oh, this is wonderful. I went out to a village. Oh, this is wonderful. It took me 4 hours in my four-wheel drive to get there. There is a drop-off spot. 2 hours hiking uphill to get to the village. Now we're back there. You have to understand that God can do what God wants to do because He's God. And it doesn't matter that I'm blocking people and ministries coming into our work and telling them, do not preach on this subject because I want God to supernaturally touch us without a word being spoken about it. And church, I got up in there. In this, I mean, look, there's no radio, there's no TV, there's no outside influence, there's no America, there's no Australia, there's no New Zealand, there's nothing but Jesus up in there and witch doctors. That's all that's up in there. Now we're up in there, that's good. And I'm sitting there in this little hut, I'm sitting on a little piece of wood up in the corner up against the bamboo wall, it's a dirt floor, chickens are walking around in there. And this little pastor walks up to me. A little bitty guy. And he was trembling. And he says to me, Brother David, I am really afraid I have made a mistake. I said, I haven't heard of any mistakes, you know, because the elders are always passing through. There's nobody telling me of any mistakes. So I almost wondered what in the world has happened in the last few days. But he's kept it all quiet because he's got four little churches in his little group. And they're part of a bigger group, which is us. And he comes up to me and he says to me, Brother David, he said, man, it's not my fault. I apologize. I've done everything right. I've sought the Lord like you taught me. I pray every day like you say. I read the Bible. I'm doing right. He said, it's not my fault. What happened? I said, what happened, man? Come on, tell me what happened. And he's trembling. Tears are running out of his eyes. He said to me, Brother David, I got up in the little church of Utlatsintla. I opened my Bible up. And I started preaching, and the people started falling down. The people started crying. The people started laughing. Oh, and it scared me. I ran out of the church. Hallelujah. That's what I was looking for. That's the point of break that I was waiting for. Where God came in our work, not because somebody came and preached it, not because I said it was okay or not okay, because I was neutral about it. I knew it was all right, but I wanted to see it in our work, not because I ushered it in, but because the Holy Ghost ushered it in. And He did. And that really made me free. So we was doing a month fast of September last year of 90... What year is this? 96? Of 95. We fasted the whole month of September last year. And I want to read this verse to you again. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was well able to perform. And I'm going to show you a promise that was given to us. And it's in the Bible. And I knew it was in there, but I hadn't seen it to the degree that God was going to do it. Like, I didn't know what He wanted to do. I had an idea. I had been around the world. I had seen things going on that I wasn't familiar with. I wasn't a whole lot comfortable with. But it doesn't matter to me whether my flesh is comfortable, whether I understand everything I'm watching. That's not important to me. What's important to me that I am sure in my heart that it's the Holy Ghost doing it. Do you understand? I don't have to get along with every little detail thing I'm watching as long as
I'm confident that it's God dealing with the people. I'm all right. But I have to admit to you, now me talking about this, you might as well be ready for a change in here. Because when I'm through here, I'm going to ask you to come up here, and there's not going to be a thing I can do about it. I'm telling you. It's going to be out of my control. I want you to understand that. Because I've shared this 2 times here in this country, and it's not my fault what happened. I totally give all of it to God. People are just passing out and falling out all over, trying to get up there. You can't get it. Just boom, 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 boom. There ain't enough people to catch because catchers are all falling out. And I like that. I like to watch all the pretty hairdos go flying. And then, so we was in this fast, and I mean to tell you, the third day of the fast, the Holy Ghost slammed me. Now, fasting, that's something, it irritates your flesh. Even the sound of the word, you don't like it. And here I'm talking about a whole month of fasting. Oh, no, now I'm really grating on you, and I'm going to grate some more. Because it wasn't just a 30-day fast. Because in January of 1995, I sat with the elders and we set up a program of fasting 3 days and eating 3 days and fasting 3 days from January all the way to the big fast in September. The whole work entered into an amazing year of fasting together. It was amazing. It was amazing. By the time September got there, we were so jumping and, oh man, we couldn't wait to go into it. And we did. And I want you to know that during the time that we fasted, just in the leadership, I didn't go into all the people that are in the churches, but just in the leadership, there wasn't one day we didn't have at least 365 people fasting, a serious, honest fast unto the Lord. It's awesome. Every day we fasted, we yielded a year of fasting to the Lord. And that's getting somewhere with God, I'm telling you. He likes that. He likes to watch us yield ourselves to Him in trust. Because the Bible says, and being fully persuaded that what He promised, He was able to perform it. Go over here with me to Psalms 46. Psalms 46. Because y'all, the Spirit of the living God hit me on the third day of that fast. I mean, I was impressed. But you got to understand, I'm locked away in a little apartment by myself. Don't see my wife. Don't see my kids. I haven't seen another human being. And I don't know how strong what I was hit with was. I don't know to what depth we've been carried in the Holy Ghost. And I thought, well, this is the reason for the whole fast. But I decided, no, I'm not going to give in to that flesh stuff. I'm here for a month. And I stayed. I waited. And then I waited 4 more days. And that's when the Holy Ghost really popped me good. The 7th day, I really got it greater than I've ever been hit in my life. And then, up to the point, I'll have to admit, up to that point. And then I went on. I didn't even see my family for 17 days. And then I didn't go outside. I was never outside of the apartment for 19 days. And then, or 18 days I think it was. And then I was just around my family only. And they had been touched by the Holy Ghost also. But I'm telling you, we don't know where we are exactly in the flow of things. And so I decided what I was going to do. I was going to study out all these revelations God had been giving me during the fast. So I began to do that. Look at this. Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. We was just singing that a while ago. And it's not like he and I got together and thought this up, because I haven't seen him since last night, I think it was. And it says right here, in verse 3, it says, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. And I want you to look at verse 4. Verse 4. Y'all, I have found a river. Listen to me. And it's real. I'm telling you, the Shekinah presence of God has come into our work. And I didn't. I have studied it. I have experienced dead raising and blinded eyes and lame walkings. And oh, it's wonderful seeing thousands of people converted to God. Man, I like it. I like it. But there's a river that's deeper and wider than we are. The minute you think you're accomplishing something is the minute you should repent. I'm telling you, you got to find ways to keep yourself humble. You got to find ways. You look for ways to not be a big shot. You look for ways to stay in the river. There is a river, church, and we can stay in that river. I don't know how long I can stay in it, but I know there's a river. I'm looking to stay in the river. Not for the purpose of setting up camp and starting a denomination over the river. That's not what I want. Because there's greater rivers than the one I'm in right now. And I'll find him. I'll find those things also. You'll see. It says there is a river. Look at this. The streams whereof make glad the city of God. Church, we are the habitation of the Holy Ghost. We are Sion. We are Zion. We are God's people. And He wants us glad and happy. He wants us rejoicing. He wants us flowing in the river. It's not a passing thing. Look at this. In verse 5 it says, God is in the midst of her. Hallelujah. And she shall not be moved. Now, jump over with me to Psalm 65. The reason I'm talking this stuff to you is because there's something happened to us that I just absolutely don't have the right words. I'm not adequate to explain it to you. And I do apologize about that. I do apologize that I don't have enough. There's not enough words. Even if you were there, you wouldn't have enough words either. If you had been there. Psalm 65. I want you to look at this. Blessed, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom you choose, O Lord, and causes to approach unto thee. Look at that. God chose me, and I'm so glad. It says, and calls to approach, that he may dwell in your courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of the house of God and your holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God, of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains and girdeth with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas. Church, it doesn't matter what's roaring around you. It doesn't matter. You got to understand that when the Holy Ghost fell on us on the 27th of October, 1995, there was war around us. There was bullets being fired. There were people dying around us, and God's Shekinah presence fell on us. Imagine that. It doesn't matter what the seas are doing and what the tumults are doing. It matters not. It matters that our eyes are on Jesus. It matters that the river of God is here in its present form to help us. I'm fixing to tell you something that to me is very serious. And it's an awesome thing I've been able to witness. And I want to share it with you. And I'm not sharing this with every church. I do it to the local assemblies only, not in evangelistic meetings. I won't do it. It's just not taken right. People are not serious enough, but a local church is more serious. I am super local church oriented. Look at this in verse 9. It says, you visit the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Let me tell you, it doesn't make any difference about the disease that's around you. It doesn't matter about the economy that's around you. Emotionally and stressfully, it bothers us. It tears us up. It eats us up. But I'm telling you, the river of God is here and it's full of water. There's plenty of water for everybody. We can get in. There's enough for all of us. You can't be enough people. Listen to me, church. We was in an awesome time. I didn't know how deeply I had been touched. So what I decided to do was get my pastors together in a local assembly by sections or areas where you'll have 30 to 50 to 75 pastors in an area. And so I wanted to test the waters to exactly where I was personally. Because I haven't seen them. I've been fasting. I've been seeking the Lord. I get up. I open my Bible. I share one or two verses. And all of a sudden I felt, that's enough. I said, stand up, guys. And they're used to me preaching 2 hours sometimes. It wasn't 10 minutes. I said, get up. And they stood up. I said, now then, receive the river of life. Lord, church, my God, you should have seen it. I went in the most conservative of our group first because I wanted to see what would happen. Oh, it looked like he was hitting these people with bats in the stomach and in the head. They were flipping. Nobody was touching them, just the Holy Ghost. People were laying over benches, drooped, backwards, forwards, all over, and I was trying to help. I couldn't help. It was just flying everywhere. And these were ministers. And I thought, oh my God. So I went through all the sections like that. Got into one section, and I was sitting there. I got up there, and like always, and they were glad to see me. I haven't seen them in a few months. And I stand up, and I open my Bible. I read one verse about the fire of God. The people start shaking. I said, oh God, this is way out there. Stand up. They tried to stand up. Some of them couldn't stand up. And I just said the word fire, and I want you to know the whole place fell. So it was getting more and more scary to me. But what was happening was, people were being healed without anybody touching them. There was a man in that particular meeting I just told you about that was deaf for 27 years. I didn't know the man, but that's not unusual for me to be away for 3 or 4 months from the section and there'd be a new pastor that I don't know. That's not unusual. I thought it was just some other pastor, some other guy that's been brought into leadership that I didn't know yet, that they brought him there for me to get to know. Well, he fell out, bang, hit his head on a bench, fell underneath the bench. I didn't do it. It wasn't my fault. All I said was fire. I didn't say get fall, knocked down and get your head knocked off. It wasn't my fault. But the thing that happened was, he come up from there in a few minutes and he took off running. That's not unusual either, to see somebody jump up from being knocked out and take off running. But what was so unusual about it was his ears were unstopped, the devil was kicked out, and he was healed, and he was running from the noise. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Ghost! It was amazing. So it finally came time for the whole group of us to get together. I had been through all the different sections, and everybody was happy, and I had introduced it softly to them. God didn't, but I didn't say much about it, but God blasted them. And there's a couple of hundred of our pastors came. I wish the whole group had been there. I wish all of y'all had been there to see what we saw. It was amazing. The first day, there was about 200 pastors, and the whole church that was hosting us was there, so it made it about 450 people or so, more or less. And it was really, really a pretty good group, and we was having a good time. First day was awesome. I mean, God, bang, blowed up the place. It was good. There was some good healings, and oh man, I was happy. The brothers were encouraged. The second day was even better. It was more aggressive. But I'll tell you, church, I was not ready for the third day. I thought we were peeking out on the second day. Because, I mean, I get there at 8 o'clock in the morning. I leave at, 10, 11, or 12 o'clock at night. I mean, ministry all day, just boom, 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 boom. Dealing with problems, fixing all. God was working through the ministry. It was wonderful. But the third day, we're coming in from different places. All the Indians had been there. I didn't know they'd been in an all-night prayer meeting. I didn't know that the Holy Ghost had fallen on them and they couldn't get up. I didn't know that they were pinned all over the place, stuck out all night long, pinned down by the Holy Ghost, stuck to the ground. I didn't know it. Some of them falling in ant beds, not one ant bit them. Did you hear what I said to you? People are always worried about snakes and spiders and all these things where we are. Hey, with Jesus, you'll be fine. With Jesus, you'll be fine. Before I tell you, I want you to look over here with me at something. Revelations. Chapter 22. We're going right slap to the end of the book. Church, I was driving up. I was about 45 minutes away from the location on a bumpy road with my four-wheel drive. I heard some men on my radio. We have these Motorola radios, real nice. Really, blessed. We're blessed to have them. You can hear a long ways off. And I'm not. They don't know I'm anywhere on the planet, but I'm listening. I'm coming in. And I begin to hear some Americans talking who have already made it there. And they get back on the radio. Where y'all guys at? My God, I can't walk. Something's happening here. And they're talking amongst themselves. And I felt power come on me. And the closer I got in, the more heat started settling on me. I mean, physical. I could feel heat. And I had my air conditioner going. Thank God for air conditioner. And I opened the door of my truck. And when I stepped out on the grounds of the little church, I instantly became hot, and sweat just poured off of me, just rolling and rolling and rolling. And I was covered in sweat. And the closer I got, well, I guess I was about 300 yards from the church. The closer I got to the church, the more intense. I couldn't hardly walk through it. It was so thick. I'm talking about the presence of God. And this is 7:30 in the morning. Who in the world would think God would be there at 7:30 in the morning? We like Him about 10:30 or 11. After we've had a good breakfast. And so I went around the corner of this building, this church, and I got there to see. You should have seen the people. Some were knocked out. Some were on the ground. Some were moaning and wailing. And it was very unusual. And I couldn't hardly walk. By the time I got up there to where the elders were, I was holding on to things to get there. I couldn't hardly breathe. And the heat and presence of God was just amazing. Do you know what God has? I want to read it to you in Revelation 22:1. God has something that we can experience. He showed me. Y'all, listen to me please. I saw it. Church, listen to me. I saw this pure river. Church, it's available. We can drink from it. It ain't contaminated water. It isn't stagnant water. It's pure river of water of life flowing from the throne of God. Y'all, I got to experience this. I lived my entire life to see it once. And if I get to see it again, like I saw it then, I'll know it because I've seen it. I've experienced it. I've tasted it. The Bible says He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life. I want you to know. I want you to understand that the morning of October the 27th, 1995, at 7:45 in the morning, when I got a hold, because they had been singing already for 2 hours when I got there. And I walked up there, and I laid my Bible down on that little bitty Indian table. All of them are wobbly there, and it's on a dirt floor. And you got hundreds of people looking at me. Some of them are knocked out on the ground. Some of them are crying. And I'm sitting there. And I mean, I can't hardly talk for the presence of God. My pastors and I called the 9 elders up to the front. And I asked them, I said, guys, listen to me very closely. I have to have you to understand that the Holy Ghost is with us. And I think it's God for us to make a martyr pack. Do y'all know what a covenant is? Anybody? There's a few of you do, very few of you. Because in our life, our modern lifestyle, there's no room for integrity and there's no room for faithfulness in people that honor covenants. If you intend to be successful, you have to be it according to the way of the world. Well, I refute that. That's a lie from hell. integrity and honor is right from God. And this river was there. I had no idea that the dam had burst. I had no idea that we were within seconds of being washed away by the Holy Ghost. Church, when we made that covenant together, we made a covenant of martyrdom for the country of Mexico, for the entire country to be born again. Every one of those pastors accepted. I accepted because they asked me back if I would join in with them. And as soon as I said yes, I said, all right, now lift your arms up to Jesus. And when we lifted our arms up to Jesus, all 9 of the elders at one time fell. Bang! And it scared me really bad because I'd never seen it before like that, because they fell like I shot them. I jumped to the other side of over there by their heads. And when I landed and got my composure, the people in front of me started falling by the dozens in less than 1 minute. The Holy Ghost fell on our work, church. Less than a minute, every pastor there was knocked out. But listen, it didn't stop there. This is good. We were ringed with unbelievers. They come to the fence and they're looking at us. And they're looking at us every service. They're watching us. That Holy Ghost river, the anointing of God, the Shekinah presence of Jesus, fell out of the sky, hit everybody in the place, knocked every man, knocked little bitty 2-year-old babies out. I'm talking out. Went right on out, hit the fence. Every unbeliever that was on that fence, there was dozens of them. Every one of them are knocked out. Every unbeliever is knocked out. It didn't stop there. The church is up on a hill, and I could see the village in the real road. The people were coming out in the village, screaming and hollering and falling out. Boom, 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 boom. Unbelievers. It's amazing. It's the most glorious thing I've ever seen in my life. But that's not where it stopped. Y'all, there was between 25 and 30 people there. Because every time that they know that I'm going to be there, they bring the sick and afflicted in from kilometers around. And they bring them in on stretchers, and there's a whole section we always give to all the sick and afflicted. And you ought to have seen it. Every person there that was sick was healed. We had blinded eyes. We had tumors. We had cancers. We had lupus. We had what's that stuff called? That epilepsy. We had all sorts of. We had demon possession. The one woman with the tumor in her womb was instantly healed. The one blind man instantly had his sight given to him. Nobody touched him but Jesus. There was instant reconciliation. There was rifts in our work. There always is political things going on. Anytime you get more than one person together, you have a rift. And between these ministers I had been working on for years to try to repair it, I looked and they were laying on top of each other, sobbing and repenting to each other. Amazing what God can do when we let that pure river of crystal flow through us of the water of life of God. It was awesome, church. It was awesome. In the name, we had 5 open-eyed visions. One after. See, I was standing there. It made me afraid. I was afraid when I saw all of that going on. And I looked up to heaven. I said, God, what are you? That was the end of it. He didn't want to hear any questions. Bang! I was probably about from here to that young boy over there with that red shirt on from the table when I fell. When I woke up hours later, I was under the table. I have no recollection of what went on in between time. When I finally got up, my legs wouldn't work. And I scooted myself around to the corner of the table. And I was just looking at what was going on. It was still going on. It was pandemonium. I mean, God was just thumping everybody. Somebody was fighting, trying to get up. Poop, they go flying. It was awesome. It was every kind of a manifestation you've ever wanted to see in your life there. I finally forced myself up to the table. My legs was, I was like a paralyzed person. I was dragging my legs around that table and sitting down. And this pastor, this little bitty guy, he was hanging on to a pole, and he was gone. He was there, but he wasn't there. And he says to me, Brother David, look at him. Look at him, Brother David. Who is it? He said, look how big he is. Oh, he's got his white robe on. He's got a golden girdle. It was Jesus. He said, Brother David, how did we get into this big palace? I looked around. I was still in dirt floor. There was still a grass roof over the top of me. But he was in a marble palace, pure white. He said, Brother David, and I went over to him on the table and made my way. I was real close to him, looking at him, watching him. And another one of the elders, Brother Jeff Baker, he's a guy that's been working with me about 13 years from the U.S. He got up. He's a prophet. He's up there. We're real close to him, watching him. Neither one of us, our legs won't work. But we got a hold of that table and we're just watching the guy. And there was the other pastors because it was a spectacle. This guy was, I'm telling you, he was in a trance. You should have seen it. It's amazing. He was sitting there. And other men tried to work their way to us, but that we were inside of a circle of energy that only God only let myself and two other people inside of. Anybody else come to it, we're knocked out like a force field. It was scary. It was real scary. But then he says to me, he's got a list, Brother David, and he named off some things. And I, as he was naming off stuff, I was looking out over the crowd, and people were being just all of a sudden start flying through the air and being healed and delivered. It was phenomenal what God was doing. And church, he's done it in every service I've been in since in our work. And it's been over a year. It's amazing. It's wonderful. And I want to read something to you. That's all I'm going to say about it. Y'all will, you can put your Bibles up. That's it. But I'm going to read this out of this Amplified book here in Isaiah 55. In verse 1. Y'all can put y'all's books on up. You just have to trust me that I'm reading this right. Isaiah 55 in verse 1 says, wait and listen. See, church, one of the reasons that God came on us like that is because we waited and we listened for God. We wasn't just so eager to have a flow and a touch of God that we jumped in at the first sign of a little sprinkle. I wanted to wait until I knew it was a gush from God. And I did, and we received, church. And it's still flowing in our ministry. And it's going to keep flowing because I'm going to keep the river in Jesus' name through prayer and fasting. Because you ought to see the amount of souls getting saved. God's blessing us. I'm telling you, we're getting only what the American missionaries are doing and Canadians. What we're doing is between 150 and 500 a month. I like it. I like it, I tell you. Wait and listen, everyone who is thirsty. The thing is, church, are you thirsty? Do you really want the move of God? Do you really and truly, are you honestly open for God to gush in here again like He did in times past? He can and He will, church. The Bible says, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy priceless spiritual wine and milk without money and without price. Simply, here's where you get it. This is the answer we've been looking for. It's a wonderful phrase I found in my Bible. Oh, what a God. It says right here, simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessing. See how easy it is? All we have to do is surrender ourselves to God and the blessing will flow. Would you please stand up with me in Jesus' name? Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Brother Skip, could we have something about the river? Please. I really think He might touch us with it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Holy Ghost. Church, I really think it's right. You say this is a Sunday morning. Things should be a little bit more, you know, calm. I disagree with you. I disagree with that. I think this is when the bulk of the church is going to be here, of the local church. That's when they need to be touched. That's just the way I think. I may not be right in your opinion. That's fine with me. I'm not going to argue with you. You're wrong. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. and I really want Jesus to touch us. Church, I don't want to force anybody into anything, but I do want to invite you, if you want to come up here. Let's go. Can we move this thing, please?